Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Hasselbeck having another beautiful day in my consciousness, despite the rainy weather here in Kansas City. And of course, at the other side of the virtual kitchen table, we have
Reverend Dr. Cher Holton from Durham, North Carolina. And it's wonderful to be here around the table. And it's a beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is the Reverend Doc Bill Holton. Very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well, as you've heard me say before. And as you guys know, and for those who are just now listening in, Cher and I are the co-founders of a Zoom ministry, a Zoom spiritual ministry. And our name is the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.
And you can reach us, learn all about our meetings and retreats and all the wonderful things we do, as well as tons of resources you can find on our website, which is gcsacommunity.org.
And of course, I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my weekly blog, The Absolute Word, as well as my calendar of events. And of course, here we go. We are MR2, and we're all about spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, science, and pseudoscience. And this time, we are leaning towards Eastern spirituality. Cher found an article on Medium. We can't recommend that enough if you want resources or just inspiring reading. And the title of the article we're looking at is Six Things Zen Monks Can Teach Us About Finding Calm, Focus, and Presence. And this was written by Thomas Oppong. Oppong? How would you say that, Cher?
I'd say Oppong.
Okay.
Geez, O-P-P-O-N-G.
Yeah, there it is. So Cher, take it away.
All right. We were really intrigued by this article because who doesn't want to do a better job of finding calm, focus, and presence? And as the three of us talked about it, shared it, and just reviewed it, we realized that it's a lot of it is things that we kind of know already, but we forget. And in the midst of the stress and busyness where we are now, we thought this would be a really good opportunity to bring it all back and maybe and share some new ideas around how we can do it, just as a reminder.
And if I can just jump in and here and say that the three of us invite you to be very zenful in your thoughts and actions. And just as an aside, Zen is the Japanese pronunciation of the Chinese word Chan, C-H-A-N. And Zen simply means thoughtful meditation.
Oh, after all these years, I didn't know that.
I was not aware of that either. So you are just brilliant.
So Zen of you, Bill.
Yeah. And that makes so much sense because everything that they teach through Zen is that thoughtful meditative.
Yeah.
Approach.
And every now and Zen, I can be thoughtful and meditative.
And quirky too.
Yes. Yes. All right. So let's start with a quote that Thomas Oppong started with. It's a quote by Jay Shetty. And he said, quote, "A monk is simply a traveler, except the journey is inwards."
Yeah. So in case you don't know, Jay Shetty is kind of a pop spiritual guy that's become very popular in the last couple years. And I think he has a history of maybe being in a monkery,
ashram,
whatever you call it. And he teaches a lot of wonderful things.
Okay.
And the article goes on to say, "The mind is like water. When it is disturbed, it reflects nothing. But if it is still, it reflects everything."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love
it. This time when I read it, I went, what the hell does that mean?
yeah. I love it as a metaphor, which I'm sure that's what they're looking at. But the whole idea of if you think about a pond and the reflection in the pond, and you take a picture of that when it's still, you could turn the picture upside down and not tell which is right side up, but throw a stone in and all of a sudden it's disturbed. And that's kind of what the world and all the busyness and chaos does with our thinking. It just throws those pebbles into our stillness of awareness.
And there's an inner disturbance that goes along too that kind of relates to this when you think about it. When we have certain issues that are very negative, that are filled with cortisol, and we our issues essentially become our tissues.
Yes.
Because they develop into health challenges, ripple. You know, they become ripples in the water, as the quote was saying.
Okay, friends, that's another meme. Your mental issues become your tissues.
Yep.
Oh, another meme we've created. All
and
right.
I love them when they rhyme. So actually, when we think about this, how I understand it is, if I am agitated, kind of like what Bill was saying, or I'm mentally disturbed, whatever comes to me just adds to the disturbance.
Yes.
But if I've learned how to be calm and still, things like that more than likely will bounce off me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so this is why this type of spiritual practice is important.
Yes, absolutely. So he goes on to say, monks understand that the mind naturally wanders. Boy, is that ever an understatement. The mind naturally wanders.
Yeah,
wanders.
And this would be
W-A-N-D-E-R-S.
W-A-N-D-E-R-S.
We do wonder too.
The mind is a wonder too.
Yep. Yep, it's called yin yang.
So here's the thing though, folks. In all the years I've been teaching meditation, and I'm sure it's true of Bill and Cher, the biggest comment or complaint I get from students is, how do I make my mind quiet? How do I still my mind? Well, as we go here, you're going to learn that isn't the point. The point is to work with this thing that wanders around. And it more like ricochets from one thought to the next.
Right. And we always like to tell people that work with your mind is part of the meditation process.
Yes.
It's not, don't fight that. Begin to use that because it's helping you learn the power of focus and how to manage it as part of the whole thing. So
yes,
we've had that same feedback.
It's called monkey mind.
Monkey mind. And that term, I had not realized that Thich Nhat Hanh might have been the one to start that term. But I don't, if you're familiar with Thich Nhat Hanh, he was a Vietnamese Zen Buddhist teacher, very well known, and just this beautiful, peaceful presence whenever he spoke. He's no longer with us on this plane, but what a powerful man. And his background is incredible. So take time to read about him. But he famously called it monkey mind because it swings from thought to thought, just like monkeys swing from tree to tree.
It's such a good observation. And when our thoughts are swinging, so are our emotions.
Oh, good point. There's another meme. Yeah. Absolutely.
And a current researcher that people have heard of that researches chimpanzees is Jane Goodall, and she would agree with us that there is a monkey mind.
There is. There is.
Absolutely. They have a very, very clear, yes. And the constant mental chatter is the enemy of calmness.
Yeah. So
statement.
That is a powerful statement, but it's statements like that that people latch on to and they don't hear. You're supposed to work with the chatter, not try to fight the trap.
Right.
Good point. Yeah. Right.
Not try to fight the chatter.
Yes.
That's because if, like on a lake top, when you throw a rock into it, there's rippling effects. And so what we're talking about is let the chatter ripple a little bit. It's going to go away.
Yeah.
It will calm itself.
Yeah.
What the monks do is train their attention. And so the this article is just going to talk a lot about ways and techniques we can use to begin to do that on our own. For what they say in the article is each time their mind wanders, because it will, and I like that statement, that's affirmation, it's going to happen to everybody, no matter how good a quote meditator you be, they patiently guide it back. Over time, the practice strengthens their ability to focus and reduces the background noise of their thoughts, leaving them feeling calmer and more centered.
Not only does it do that, but any exterior noise in that fades into the background as well.
Yep. Definitely. So let's look at some of the techniques that they're sharing. And for our listeners, just do a little personal checklist for yourself. Like, do I already know this? Yes. Am I using it? Yes or no? Yes. And if you're using it, how can you amp it up even more? And if you're not using it, then how can I build it back in? So
you know what?
For our listeners.
You probably already teach this as part of your spiritual practice. Create a checklist of your top three of the spiritual practices, and make that a checklist. And every day at the end of the day, just look at it and check whether you've done it or not.
Uh-huh. Good point. Yep. Yeah.
Because so much we do that works and somehow we forget it. We just let it go. We think, well, I did that. No, I used to do that, but why not now? Why not now? And the first one is a really big one that everybody can relate to, taming the mental chatter. So we're talking about all those thoughts that are going on in your head. Active and uncontrolled thoughts are like mischievous monkeys. All right. So we're going to keep that metaphor, forever swinging from branch to branch. Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh says our thoughts jump from one idea to another, often without any clear direction or purpose.
Well, and the metaphor I thought of as I was reading this, probably for the third time, is that if you have a phonograph record and it has a scratch in it, when the needle gets there, it jumps back and it repeats the same thing over and over again. And isn't the mental chatter like that? It's mm-hmm. just repetitious thought. There's no original thinking happening there.
Yeah,
right.
You're right.
And if there's any original thinking at all happening, it's our story writing. We write a story about whatever it is we're thinking, that we're great novelists in our head, but they're usually, you know, chaos and suspense and all yes, the negative right. things in our mind. So the constant mental chatter is the source of our distracting, stressful, and chaotic lives, making it difficult to focus. These thoughts can be worries, plans, judgments, or simply random ideas.
And I want to amend that just a bit by saying, to paraphrase the author, the constant mental chatter is highly influencing our distractions, stress, and chaotic lives.
Nice.
We are the cause.
Yes.
Yeah. We choose it.
We choose it.
Yeah. That's a really good point, because that goes back to, we could say that's the source, but it's there. It is. And it's influencing what we do.
It's not causative.
And here's another one of those danger thoughts. To achieve monk focus, we must quiet our minds. No, no. The next sentence fixes it. To tame their minds and build muscle, attention muscle, monks observe their thoughts without judgment and let them pass. Right. To avoid the swing, they focus on an anchor, like a breath, to gently bring their attention back when it wanders. And I will add a mantra. That's what a mantra does. Yep. Yes. And I really like using a mantra because that's what I do. But what we're trying to do is get control of the thinking nature. Mm-hmm. And the mind thinks. I mean, that's what it does. And so using a thought to tame thoughts makes a lot more sense to me.
I totally agree with that. And I love the term attention muscle.
Yes.
It reminds us, just like you go to the gym to work out, and it's not a one-shot deal. You build muscle, you work out regularly to keep those muscles active, and then you create, with activity, the same thing. You create muscle memory by redoing things. So that's why it doesn't happen overnight that you're suddenly, instantly able to manage that chatter. It's an ongoing process, and you're strengthening it every time you do it.
And you let them pass, going through your mind without offering them any tea or coffee.
Right.
You just let them go.
Yeah, forget your hospitableness, right?
Or building a home or condominium to them.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
We don't even want it to build and put up a tent, right? We just
That's
want to let it.
right. We want it just swept
Yep.
away.
And I love your comment about the mantra, because one of the things people have a problem with is they say, if I try to quiet my mind, I fall asleep, right?
Yes.
And when and then I just those thoughts keep going, and we are talking anyway. So I love the idea that just replace what you're saying, have that go-to phrase or a couple of words or whatever it is that brings you back. And if you have to come back 50 times during that meditation time, that's fine. There's no judgment here. But the more you catch it, the better you get at doing it.
Yeah, the more you catch it, the better you get at catching. And isn't that practice again? Now we're kind of in a sports metaphor.
Yeah, it works. It works perfectly.
It
And
works.
for resentful females, it can be a woe mantra.
Woman.
Oh my goodness. Bill, can you just quiet those thoughts, please?
He can't help himself sometimes. Well, yes, he can.
Yes,
He
I
chooses
can.
not to help himself.
Yes. And so I would invite people, if they want to know how to use a mantra, to just do a Google search. There are all kinds of resources that someone could talk you through the practice. And really, there's no perfect way of doing the practice. And isn't that great?
Amen. Can we just put a big stamp amen on that statement?
Yes, there's no perfect way of doing it. There'll be your way of doing it. They're your thoughts to tame, not my thoughts, not Cher's, not Bill's, not anybody else's. And remember, the thoughts aren't wrong. I'm going to say that again. The thoughts aren't wrong when you're meditating. We work with them to
Yes.
calm them down.
And that's so powerful. Thank you for sharing that, because I just think people worry so much about doing it wrong and forget that it's the action itself that makes it, I get better as I do it.
Yes, indeed. And as we get better, we remember to swing like the monkeys to this week's absolute word. And the absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And this comes from April 14th, and the word is health. And you know what? We need to remember to claim health. And so the affirmation is, I claim life, health, and wholeness now. I claim divine life, health, and wholeness for myself and my dear ones. I have absolute faith that these divine principles are greater than any worldly conditions. I fully activate faith, life, health, and wholeness now. I listen to the still small voice within as I guide myself towards total health and wholeness throughout my mind and body. If fear and worry get the better of me and I start to be anxious, I put a demand on the principles of my inherent divinity that support ease and grace. I release and let go of any concerns. When I pray with anyone, I never, ever focus on their condition. I focus on their divinity, their spiritual perfection. I see them as whole and prosperous. The innate divinity of everyone is health beyond illness. abundance beyond insufficiency, and life beyond death. I claim life, health, and wholeness now. And if you're ever wondering, those are the three primary principles associated with the health of the mind and body. And with that, friends, this is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off. Until the next time.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton saying thank you so much for being part of us today.
And this is the Reverend Doc Bill Holton reinforcing what Paul has just written. And the three of us invite you to always claim life, health, and wholeness now.